Good afternoon. This is Richmond Independent Radio News for Friday, July 22nd, 2005. I'm Lauren Ball. This week, we take you inside a recent summit meeting on the issue of recidivism and how it affects the Richmond community.
Politicians support and vote for what they think the public wants, and they don't really believe that the public values reintegration.
We'll sit down with the executive director of Equality Virginia, who recently held an activist and organizational conference at VCU.
So I hope that folks who came to the conference left with some new skills and a little bit of inspiration to take the fight back to their communities.
And Mayor Wilder has his sights set on yet another area of concern this week, the Richmond school system. We'll have those stories and more coming up after these headlines.
For WRIR News, I'm Sarah Barrett. Bush's nomination for the Supreme Court Justice to replace Sandra Day O'Connor has sparked much debate. Though it seems likely that his choice of John G. Roberts will pass, not everyone is satisfied. Jared Ress has this report.
Would you like some free lemonade and sign my petition? You're welcome.
In the still quite hot early evening, outside Elwood Thompson's health food store, Barbara Voost from MoveOn.org sat in a lawn chair with her dog to solicit signatures for a petition opposing the nomination of John G. Roberts to the Supreme Court. She had no particular goal besides exposure, though she will be sending the signatures to our senators. While many speak of the bitter divisions over politics in America these days, Barbara emphasized the importance of being polite and explained that she was mostly interested in finding and motivating like-minded people rather than persuading anyone.
It's really about just making sure people are thinking about the option, whatever decision they make.
In fact, the temperament was so friendly that Barbara actually got some help from the other side.
I have a friend who's like ultra-conservative who absolutely would not be signing my petition, who gave me this so that I could do this, the table. So, you know, every little support in their own way.
For WRIR News, I'm Jared Ress at Elwood Thompson's.
Anyone wishing to enjoy some sun while surfing the internet can now take their laptop to Monroe Park, Richmond's newest Wi-Fi hotspot. WRIR's Nancy Lee has more.
These days, internet access has been popping up everywhere, from coffee shops to laundromats. Now, even historical Monroe Park is getting in on the wireless scene. An urban oasis for over 100 years, this city park, located near VCU and Belvedere Street, quietly entered the information age this month, becoming a Wi-Fi hotspot. Essentially, this means internet access is available within the park's 7.5 acres, thanks to an omnidirectional antenna. The program is a cooperative effort by the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities and the Monroe Park Advisory Council. Councilman Bill Panelli expressed his hope that the Wi-Fi would make the region more user-friendly. I spoke to student Gwenda Peters to see how she felt about the new access.
I think it's an awesome idea. Season permitting, I would definitely use it.
The Wi-Fi capabilities, begun in late June, are considered a city expenditure. For WRIR, I'm Nancy Lee in Monroe Park.
It's been almost a year since Tropical Storm Gaston flooded the city and almost 2 years since Richmonders endured Hurricane Isabel's fury. Businesses and homeowners affected by the storms have spent the time trying to rebuild as best they could while waiting for federal disaster relief funds. On Wednesday, Governor Mark Warner announced the release of over $4 million in funds to be dispersed among 7 Virginia localities, including Richmond. The money is specifically earmarked for those who have had perhaps the hardest time rebuilding, those of moderate to low incomes. Of the almost $700,000 allocated for Richmond, most will go to the Broad Rock Creek area, which suffered heavy flooding during Gaston, claiming several of the 9 lives lost in Richmond that night. 16 homes will be rehabilitated, and another 4 will be bought and demolished. More drainage in the area will also be created. Governor Warner remarked that the grants, quote, will bring much-needed relief for those still feeling the effects from the 2 most devastating natural disasters in Virginia's recent history, end quote. It is estimated that almost 16,000 homes and nearly 1,500 businesses were damaged in the 2 storms. Last week, we told you about the fire that destroyed Loving's Produce Company's warehouse in Chaco Bottom, forcing the major food service supplier to close its doors, leaving many area restaurants scrambling to find new sources for fruits and vegetables. This week, WRIR's Dustin Richardson brings us an update in that story.
There are dozens of diverse businesses in Chaco Bottom, but they all have one thing in common. None is a stranger to disaster. That's why we're not surprised to learn that Loving's Produce Company, whose warehouse was gutted by a two-alarm blaze last week, was up and running again, thanks to the kindness of a neighbor. The Acme Tomato Company sits just across the street from the charred ruins of the Loving's warehouse, and they've decided to let Loving's operate out of their business. Last night, as yet another storm raged through the bottom, the warehouse was full of activity. John Nash, the night manager for Loving's, said it was business as usual.
Well, after the fire, we was put out of work for about 7 or 8 days. And then we started Monday morning, open back up to resume business. It was a little rough starting out, but everything is kind of like smoothing out because everybody's coming back and business looking pretty good. Everything's available.
Loving's hopes to move back across the street as soon as city inspectors give them the go-ahead. For WRIR, I'm Dustin Richardson in Chaco Bottom.
This is WRIR News.
For WRIR News, I'm Lauren Ball. Michelle Mitchell, the Richmond City Sheriff, estimates that 10 to 14,000 times a year, someone goes from behind bars back into the Richmond community. It is hard to say to how many people this figure refers because so many people go back in and out of jail once they leave. There are many in Richmond who feel that the problem of how to help these people avoid returning to jail has not been sufficiently addressed. In an effort to change that, a summit of organizations that can help was held last Tuesday, July 19th. Jared Ress has this report.
This past Tuesday at the Richmond Police Academy on West Graham, State Senator Benjamin Lambert and Delegate John M. O'Bannon, along with representatives from the Sheriff's Office, Housing Opportunities Made Equal, Boaz and Ruth, and Add Tomorrow hosted a summit of aid organizations called Finding the Way Home to discuss recidivism, or the problem of released inmates returning to prison in Richmond. This is no small problem, considering that as of 2003, Richmond, of all localities in the state, received the second greatest number of inmates released from state prisons, along with the estimate by top sheriff's official Colonel Rehm that 28,000 times a year someone goes in or out of jail in Richmond, and the fact that Richmond City Jail currently houses nearly twice its intended capacity. Aside from the Sheriff's Office and the Police Department, many other government departments were represented, including but not limited to Offender Aid and Restoration, Richmond Behavioral Health Authority, the Public Housing Service, the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, the Public Defender's Office, and even the Richmond School Board. Also present were various private service providers and church affiliates. Most of these people seem to agree that there is a problem with collaboration, especially information sharing, between the departments over the task of helping released prisoners find a place in society. Reggie Malone of the City School Board says that communication is a key issue.
We have many federal and state regulations that prevent the school system from sharing information with the city, with the helping agencies. And obviously, their children are suffering, but we can't pass on information. I think that we need to get beyond that.
However, Michelle Mitchell says that the Sheriff's Office possesses a lot of important data and believes it would be the perfect agency through which to centralize the information needed by all the various service providers. She hopes to work in the near future with the offices of the Commonwealth Attorney and the Public Defender to create a so-called airtight document for family members to sign in order to overcome privacy laws that are an obstacle to information sharing. Other benefits from the centralization of service providers were discussed, such as the prevention of redundancies resulting in more efficient use of money, which could even encourage more private contributions. Another important theme, which everyone seemed to agree on, was the need to start the process of addressing individuals' reentry issues earlier on in their prison term rather than at the last minute. The ultimate practical goal of the summit, as set forth by Michelle Mitchell, was to set up a commission of volunteers from all the various organizations present. Because of the overwhelming complexity of the many-faceted problem of recidivism, the task of this commission would be to come up with a single problem for all of their collective efforts on which to focus for the next 12 months. Many possibilities for this focus were discussed, such as the need for education, jobs, mental and health care, drug rehabilitation, care for the children of inmates, housing, and more. Mitchell, apparently not alone, feels that this last issue of housing must take priority because those persons receiving aid will not be interested in any other kind of help until they have a roof above their heads. Housing is quite a problem for released inmates, particularly since there is at least a 3-year wait for public housing if they are felons, and if not, there are still other restrictions. Compounded with this obstacle is the difficulty of landing employment with sufficient wages to otherwise pay for housing. As far as what the general public can do to help with this tremendous problem for Richmond, Reggie Malone summed it up as a political issue.
Politicians support and vote for what they think the public wants. And they don't really believe that the public values reintegration. Because if they did, our laws and our statutes would be different. So if the public has to send a clear signal that we're now ready for change.
For WRIR News, I'm Jared Ress at the Police Academy.
On Tuesday, Mayor Wilder announced the formation of yet another review panel, this one called the School System Oversight Committee. The city's school system does not directly report to the mayor, and although everyone agrees that there are problems in the schools, some are wondering if Wilder is beginning to overstep his power. WRIR's Dustin Richardson has more.
Since his inauguration in January, Mayor L. Douglas Wilder has created review panels to make decisions and recommendations on a variety of different issues plaguing the city, from city spending to the possibility of building a stadium in Chaco Bottom. Last week, he created a review panel to explore the management of the city jails, and this week, he held a press conference outside of South Richmond's Oak Grove Elementary School to announce the creation of a school system oversight committee. Oak Grove is the first school in the Commonwealth to be investigated for irregularities in SOL testing results.
Today, as the mayor, I'm taking steps to end the complacency and the dysfunctionality that plagues Richmond's public schools. The fact is that our school system is one of the best funded, yet poorest performing districts in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
The 8-member panel will be charged with making recommendations to the elected school board concerning truancy, violence, and drug activity in the schools.
There are an average of 135 incidents of discipline, crime, and violence in Richmond public schools every school day. 135 incidents every school day. This includes assaults against students and teachers, drug and alcohol abuse, sexual offenses, gang activity, bullying, threats, weapons, possession, and the list goes on. In fact, the problem is so acute that one in every 13 students or incidents One in every 13 incidents taking place in Virginia schools occurs right here in Richmond.
The panel will also look at academic issues plaguing the schools as well.
The system continues to fall well short of state averages for SOL test results in nearly every category.
Robert Holsworth, director of the L. Douglas Wilder School of Government and Public Affairs at VCU, will chair the panel, which includes several other hand-picked educators and school administrators from VCU, J. Sergeant Reynolds, the City of Richmond, and the counties of Henrico and Chesterfield. Also on the panel are two members of the private sector. Heidi Abbott, who is an attorney with Hunt & Williams, a law firm that contributed $2,500 to Wilder's campaign, and Bill Goodwin Jr., chairman of CCA Industries, a diversified holdings company. Goodwin donated $2,000 to the Wilder campaign.
This panel of highly distinguished and respected representatives from the education and business communities will be aggressively looking over the shoulders of the school system's decision makers, advising me and this administration of actions needed to repair the many disturbing problems that currently exist, as well as to keeping the public well informed.
But aggressiveness is just what some school board members are afraid of. The school board is elected separate from city government, and as an independent entity, it is theoretically autonomous. However, the majority of the money for the school boards comes out of the mayor's office, and it is that money that gives Wilder his leverage.
And if the school board and administration are unable or unwilling to address it, then my administration, as the system's single largest fund provider, has a duty to step in and to hold them accountable.
Steve Johnson, chairperson of the school board, agreed with Wilder's overall message, but defended the school's performance.
I think that in order for us to educate the children in Richmond, we have got to partner with not only the city and the administration, but the business people and everybody else in the city to get this job done. We can't do it alone.
But the board is not unanimous. School board member Carol Wolf says that Wilder is definitely overstepping his bounds.
Mayor Wilder should know, having been governor of the state, that this school board's line of authority goes to the state superintendent of instruction, as opposed to the mayor of the city of Richmond, as opposed to an oversight committee that he wants to place on the school board and the administration. We answer to the state. This board and as an individual board member can no more cede the authority to hire and fire the superintendent than I can go over and get my neighbor's car keys and give them to somebody else and give them their car. It's not ours to give.
As the mayor's office flexes its muscles to yet another city agency, the future of many individuals is in the balance. Most importantly, of course, is the students. For WRIR, I'm Dustin Richardson on the South Side.
This is WRIR News.
Women and children are the fastest growing segment of the homeless population. The Daily Planet has served Richmond's homeless population for nearly 35 years, providing valuable medical, dental, vision, and mental health services. They also do case management and job training. More than 35% of the healthcare clinic's clients are now female. Want to know more about the Daily Planet and homelessness in Richmond and the United States? More information is available at www.dailyplanetva.org.
Ever notice how other radio stations think about music and news?
Sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear.
Ever wonder where their programming decisions are made?
We are controlling transmission.
At WRIR, we think the community should be a big part of the station. To find out how you can participate in creating the future of Richmond Independent Radio, log on to WRIR.org.
You are about to participate in a great adventure.
And if you like what you hear on the air, tell a friend.
For WRIR News, I'm Lauren Ball. Equality Virginia is a nonpartisan lobbying, educational, and support organization for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and straight allied communities in Virginia. One of Equality Virginia's main functions is to lobby the Virginia General Assembly, and they are already making plans for next year's session, which begins in January 2006. This past weekend, Equality Virginia held a conference on the VCU campus to train and inform attendees from all over the state on actions they can take to aid the cause of securing equality for all Virginians. Part of their mission to organize communities at a grassroots level, the conference was a full day of workshops and featured keynote speaker Matt Foreman, executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. Diana Mason is the executive director of Equality Virginia, and she spoke with WRIR about the conference, the short and long-term goals of the organization, and how Richmonders can get involved in their cause. Can you tell me about Equality Virginia?
We're the statewide nonpartisan gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender advocacy organization. We have about 10,000 members around the state in every corner, and we have about 25 board members also around the state.
Who are the members of Equality Virginia?
Well, a large portion of our membership are members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community in the state. But we have a lot of non-gay allies who have been joining us as well. So we're really looking to encourage all fair-minded people to join the organization.
The conference that you had at VCU, can you tell me about that?
Sure. This past weekend we had about 150 people coming to our conference. It was a day-long activists and organizing conference for folks around the state. We had workshops on everything from how to lobby and how to be a good advocate in the media. We had workshops on the elections that are coming up this fall and what some of the candidates are, what they stand for. We had workshops on the history of interracial marriage versus the fight for gay marriage. And then our keynote speaker was Matt Foreman, who's the executive director of Equality Virginia. So I hope that folks who came to the conference left with some new skills and a little bit of inspiration to take the fight back to their communities.
Where did the people who attended the conference come from? Were they all Virginians?
Yeah, they were all Virginians, and they were from all over the state. We had folks coming up from Hampton Roads and Tidewater. We had a lot of Northern Virginia folks, a lot of Richmond people. We even had a relatively significant contingent from Southwest Virginia. So they drove up, had to leave very early, but drove up and got here and were able to participate.
What are some of the local issues that face the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community in Richmond?
Well, right now, what we're doing is we're asking folks to start getting ready for the next legislative session. We are going to be facing continued challenges in the form of the marriage amendment, an anti-gay marriage amendment, but we're also going to continue to see additional attacks. So what we're doing locally is working to organize groups of volunteers through our community action teams and other volunteers who can participate and help us fight these things when the session starts next year. For the first time as well, we're also going to be getting involved in some electoral politics. So we're going to be, we've organized a PAC, a political action committee. We're going to be making our first endorsements a little bit later this summer and then doing some work around those campaigns as well, working to get some more fair-minded members of the General Assembly.
On a national front, there's some things happening right now with the president's nominee for the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, I think we've joined the national coalition to just make sure for an independent judiciary, basically, and to make sure that we really get to ask, and the questions are asked about Judge Roberts. You know, willingness to fight for equal rights for all Americans through privacy protections and those types of things. So while I know there's not a lot known about his positions on those particular issues, I certainly hope that the senators really are willing to dig into his judicial philosophy as it comes to individual liberties. And so we're going to be participating in that effort.
I know you're affiliated with the Human Rights Campaign. How do you work together with them?
We're not officially affiliated. They're a national organization that does most of the work on Capitol Hill. We're the statewide group that does work on here in our capital in Richmond. We seek support from them in terms of technical advice and occasional financial support, and they seek support from us in helping to support their federal issues and their federal priorities. So we sort of complement each other more than anything else, but we're two separate independent organizations.
What kind of upcoming events do you have planned?
I am just starting to put together our first ever door-to-door canvassing efforts around the state, and I hope to start doing that in September. We'll probably start in Northern Virginia and train some folks and then start to target specific areas around the rest of the state a little bit later into the fall. And we'll also be doing some town hall meetings, working to educate people about the marriage equality issues, about the campaign coming up this fall, how the candidates stand on things. And I do anticipate we'll also be organizing a series of meet and greet events with our members and candidates for the House of Delegates. So, our plate's full.
People that listen to this interview and want to get involved, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to our website. It's www.equalityvirginia.org, or they can call us at 804-643-4816. And there's a lot of information on the website about the issues facing the gay and lesbian community in the state, what our positions are. There's an advocacy center where you can find out, what to send, what letters and phone calls you should send to your elected officials. And we try to keep it updated with what's going on in Virginia and around the country.
Diana Mason, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you.
This is WRIR News.
For over 155 years, Jewish Family Services has served the health and social needs of Greater Richmond. JFS knows welcoming a new baby is a real challenge. We Care by JFS helps first-time parents learn to care for a new addition and helps experienced parents care for other children in the household, giving mom and dad time to rest. A JFS nurse starts every family off with the right We Care package. Information on WeCare and Jewish Family Services is available by calling 804-282-5402 or on the web at www.jfsrichmond.org.
This is Christopher Maxwell, one of the founders of WRIR and the current president of the Virginia Center for the Public Press. Media is called the fourth estate because it provides a vital balance between the powers of the executive, judicial, and legislative branches of our constitutional republic. Democracy thrives when there is a balance of voices and interests. But if there is not a thriving competition of different radio stations, the chance of your voice being heard is slim. So in the interest of a thriving democracy and a healthy civic economy, I ask you to donate to all the public radio stations. It's the variety that brings the dial to life.
That's it for this edition of Richmond Independent Radio News. I'm Lauren Ball. I'd like to thank all the volunteers who worked on this week's program, Sarah Barrett, Nancy Lee, Jared Ress, and Dustin Richardson. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard today, or if you would like to volunteer, send an email to news@wrir.org. Archives of WRIR News can be found on our website at www.wrir.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.